This is your Anime D-Gens Weekly Rundown 63. Come on, man. Let's get it. Welcome back, guys. This is your Anime D-Gens. I'm with my buddy Tyler. We are your host tonight. Dan, again, is missing. Who knows where this fucking guy goes? But we'll get him back at some point. Tyler, how you doing this evening?
Did he say he was going to Mexico this time? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's going somewhere. He's somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'm doing good. It's freaking getting hot out, bro. Is it getting hot out over there where you're at?
Yeah, man, it's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. The sun's going down later. It's warming up. We're all the way up in spring now, man. I'm loving this shit. It's like mid-70s, low-80s. I'm with it.
I bet you're swinging them clubs now, ain't you?
Oh, yeah. It's time, bro. It's time. The pollen's out to get me. That means it's time to start swinging clubs. Yeah,
yeah, full swing ahead, basically.
Hey, you know what's up. Well, guys, the best way to support us, rate the podcast, tell your friends about it. And if, as always, if you want any to know about any topics or have questions for us about the latest episodes that we're watching, hit us up on our Discord, our socials, linktree.com/animedgens. Y'all know we answer them. We pretty active. But yeah, today on the rundown, we only have three shows because One Piece is doing a recap. And we don't do that. We don't do that here. If you're new, we don't do that. If you're old, we don't do that shit. But guys, the first show we're going to be covering is Kaiju number 8, episode 1. Go-Go Loser Ranger, episode 2. Spice and Wolf, the remake, episode 2. So I think we had some pretty good episodes this week. Tyler, how'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I think that at least two of them was like pretty like solidifying their spots in my favorites, I guess you can say. And the third is like just staying the same. I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Which one was that for you that just kind of stayed the same?
Spice and Wolf. I mean, it's been up there at the top, you know, but I kind of know what I'm getting for the first, I would say probably the first 5 to 6 episodes since that's how much I watched the first one. So I really liked it. I just stopped watching it because
you already know what's up, and then you get okay, that was good time. And imagine if you would have gotten through the whole thing and this shit would get announced.
I mean, I would have still watched it to see, because this one looks so much better, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I took a look at the first few moments of the old one, and this definitely does look a lot better, but the old one doesn't look bad though at the same time.
No, yeah, it definitely doesn't. Did you? I don't know. You said you watched a little bit of the old one. Did you notice that Chloe, which is the girl in the old one, she actually gets locked up in the barn instead of whatever the hell his name is. It's actually in the new one.
I don't think I watched that much. I was just trying to see the style. It was like maybe 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah, so there's a few differences. This one seems like
already it's changing shit.
More faithful to the manga. So
okay,
that's what it seems like.
I like when they do the remakes like that, because I feel like more so anime, you know, 5+ years ago, they used to kind of stray away from the manga to make it for television.
Yeah.
But now people are just making it closer to the manga, especially with these remakes. I really, really enjoy that. But yeah, I just got to watch Spice and Wolf today, and I thought it was pretty good, man. Both episodes I watched. I had no idea what I was getting into. Dan said economics. There's a wolf girl. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, but it's pretty solid. And then, you know, Go-Go Loser Ranger got better this week. So, and Kaiju number 8 came out swinging. So,
yeah, for solid sure. Shit. So I guess if you're ready, Bass, we'll get straight into Kaiju number 8.
Let's do it.
So episode 1 of this is the debut of Kaiju number 8 for the spring rundown, and it is called The Man Who Became a Kaiju. And Kafka Hibino has almost abandoned his dream of joining the anti-kaiju defense force. He now works in kaiju cleanup, disposing of the bodies of slain kaiju, and thinking back with regret to the days he spent with his childhood friend, Mina Ashiro, captain of the Defense Forces 3rd Division. And before we get too far deep into this, I know this show specifically, we're seeing a few shows do it more lately, more recently. It's being simul-dubbed along with the sub. So I watched the subbed. I'm probably going to continue watching the subbed, but I did watch some of it dubbed. We know Bass is probably watching it dubbed.
You're damn right.
We're going to, I guess, how are you liking the dub so far?
I thought the dub was very solid. I think I have to, like, Reno's voice has to grow on me. I think it's a little misplaced. I think we talked about it offline a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Everything else, perfectly fine. Sounds great. I got no real complaints at all. And I really love the fact that they're simulcasting the dub and the sub. I like that. Like, I like to be able to look away from the fucking TV and, like, talk to whoever's around me and not have to rewind shit. I'm a definitely a dub enjoyer for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I thought the subbed was really, really good. But the dubbed, I did watch some of it, dubbed, and you know, I think they found a very good MC, whoever's voice acting the MC Kafka, they done a really good it's job.
Perfect.
Yeah. And also Mina. She sounds like what I expect her to sound like an authoritative woman figure. Like, she sounds menacing, kind of.
Yep, just how we like them.
Yep. Especially Dan. but yeah, Ichikawa, I don't know, his voice, I guess I'm like Bass. He could probably grow on me a little bit, but it did sound a little off. It didn't feel like it fit. But, you know, it was good still. It just, I didn't think that if, I don't know. It's a little bit off for me, so.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like I said, I agree with that take, but I don't know. This is a big step for me. This is the first show I've heard of doing the simulcast with the dub. And the fact that it's not atrocious is great.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'm getting fed scraps right now because I'm still waiting to finish Solo Leveling because it's not dubbed yet.
Damn.
I'm on the last episode at least, but you know, it's the struggle, bro. It's the struggle.
This show, it actually got really hopped up, which it had like the simulcast release on Twitter or whatever, and also Crunchyroll. They had a freaking countdown timer, bro, and they had I'm pretty sure what I heard is they had a live stream on Crunchyroll as well that after, like, the first episode was live streamed or something, and, like, they had technical difficulties with it, and you couldn't, like, rewatch the episode until, way after the first episode aired or something like that.
Interesting. So there were some caveats they weren't ready for.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they'll figure it out. This isn't something that Twitter does all the time.
Yeah. And that's also Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll fucked this up? I thought you said it was... Oh, okay. Okay, you saw it on Twitter. Got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's on both, but, like, this is the first time I ever seen Crunchyroll, like, have a countdown timer and also do a live stream of the actual thing, like a live stream format or whatever, so...
Yeah, I wasn't there for when the counter hit zero. But, yeah, I saw it going on, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that's actually accurate, and sure enough.
So it was big hopped up, which is pretty wild. I've never seen a show do that before on Crunchyroll, but I guess it's good to see that it was kind of worth it, I thought. So, but yeah, the show started, and we got right into action with a 60-meter kaiju coming in and destroying a neighborhood. Then we see the Defense Forces 3rd Division drop in and just absolutely decimate this monster.
When the 3rd Division dropped in, old girl Amina was carrying a fucking cannon, son. Yeah. Yeah, that shit was tight. I fuck with that. The music was really good, too. Like some electric guitar in the background as they're hopping out the drop ship. But I thought it kind of crazy. I thought she was just going to blow a hole in that kaiju's like chest.
Yeah.
But then it proceeds to explode. They have explosive ammo. And like, there's no reason for that. It's already dead, maybe, I guess. But, you know, you got to leave a little something for Kafka to clean up. A little extra.
Well, he does make some remarks or whatever. Like, they're so messy. The third division specifically are so messy. And I guess they... overkill, I guess, kind of deal going on. So
big time.
But I agree though. When I was first watching this, like when the team started dropping down from the chopper and like the music started going and you had the electric guitars and shit, like it got me hyped up, bro. Like it was like I was watching like Rambo or some shit, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like I was like, here come these badass motherfuckers. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
But I'm definitely messing with the like the OST or whatever. Like they're hitting the shit on the OST and like the sound and shit. Like they're doing some weird sounds, like the especially like the fart sounds. Like I laughed, honestly.
I wasn't expecting it and it made me laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I made an audible laugh on that one because like it was just like, seriously, this shit is so unnecessary, but I enjoyed it.
But yeah, I definitely agree that it was definitely overkill. I'm kind of curious, like, what kind of all the kind of weapons that they have available for them to them or whatever to use, because it seemed like they was like Star Wars type shit,
like energy type weapons, yeah, like laser weapons and shit. So I'm sure we'll get to see, because like, I mean, everybody's seen like the poster. Like, Homeboy's gonna end up on the Defense Force.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. But then we actually get to meet our main character, Kafka Hibino, which is, his name's Kafka, and he subbed. I don't know what he's probably called Hibino and he dubbed. I don't know.
No, they is call it? Him Kafka. They okay. Just reverse the names, so it's first name, last name for the dub.
Yeah. But he's on the kaiju cleanup crew. He's basically like sanitation. So, kind of, what was your first impressions of him?
So I could tell off rip that he was like super goofy. Like, I guess within like the first 10 seconds they introduced him, like he seemed kind of somber, but like he kind of like let it out. Like he was a little goofy and like it was really lighthearted compared to like when the Defense Force came down. So like I was like, okay, he seems like a kind of like a chill guy. At that moment, I was hoping he wasn't going to be too goofy because I don't like super goofy. Like comic relief, somebody else has to do that. It can't be your MC, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a good impression, though. What about you?
So, also, before I say anything, I want to know, like, a lot of people were saying, like, he had a simplistic face or whatever, or, yes, like, design. Like, do you mess with it, or, like, do you agree, or, like, what do you think about it? You like or nah?
It's going to have to grow on me. I don't like it right now. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just big, flat, blockhead-ass face. but yeah, like it does seem very simplistic. I'm not really jiving with that, but like, you know, it's not enough to like make me not watch the show. Like, okay. I was just talking about Solo Leveling. I hate their faces, but like that doesn't bother me. Like, it doesn't stop me from watching the show ever.
Oh yeah, Solo Leveling is like their faces are literally like triangles, bro. That's it.
Yeah, I fucking hate it. Yeah, it's terrible.
Of triangles with like a hair on top. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed Kafka, honestly. Like you said, he's funny, like, but he's not so funny. He kind of reminds me of like just a normal person who like just goes to work and tries his best at work. You know what I mean? Goes home, like he just tries to make the best of what he's given. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I follow that because like, yeah, like he just chops it up with his coworkers.
Yeah,
yeah, like just seems like a chill ass dude. Yeah,
like even with his like jealousy, I guess jealous moments or whatever, or mm-hmm. like haha, you know, get shit on kid moments or whatever. Like that's some shit that we would be doing. You know what I mean? But
yeah fuck that guy.
Yeah. But deep down, you know, in his heart, like he's like he actually cares for those people, even though he enjoys seeing them feel the same way he felt when he started. You know what I mean?
Right. Like you. I think we've all had those type of times. Like you got to go through this shit first. You got to get your stripes, bro. Like you got to go through this shit. Like we went through this shit. That was big time when I used to work built pools, man. New guys, like you gonna do all the shit nobody likes to do. That's your job for the next 2 weeks. Then you can do some other shit.
One of my favorite moments was when they told the new guy, I was like, you're going to be on intestine duty. And Kafka's just like, yeah, get shit on, whatever. And they're like, oh, Kafka, you're going to be with him. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, that's legit. That happens a lot, bro, in real life.
Oh, it really does. And it was just, and I also noticed that Kafka, they were like, cleaning shit up without having goggles on. They had like the big like face visor thing, but I would still have goggles on behind that shit. That's tons of dookie, like literal tons of dookie. Hell no.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, as a sanitation person, myself, like before I, moved on or whatever, we actually, like, in order to use chemicals and shit, we had to use goggles and a face shield, you know?
Right.
And I can't imagine, like, cleaning up, like, fecal matter or whatever, like, the explosive fecal matter would be handled any less, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I just thought about it. Like, they probably do that so we know who the characters are.
Yeah, I guess.
I just thought about that, but like, yeah, just seeing that, I was like, oh, hell no. I'd have on a fucking shiesty mask with goggles with my hazmat suit on. Yeah, no, couldn't be me.
But I definitely feel him, though. Like, I've done some like pretty shitty work, like in terms of like smell or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, when you go home, even if you've been in a bodysuit or, you know, you've had your nose covered up with a mask and like you've had all the protective gear on, you go home, you still smell that shit, bro. It doesn't matter. Like you could, you know, change and everything else, and you could have like everything blocked off, and you could have nothing on you at all when you go home that was at anywhere near that job site or whatever, but you would still smell it. It's just the way it works. So,
oh yeah, that's true. That's true. I definitely believe that.
So I really enjoy like the, I don't know, I guess the real life situations that like it brings into it. Like it makes you feel like, hey, like this is relatable, you know, these moments are relatable to like normal people. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's definitely what was really cool about it. And then we also like learned that, I thought this was pretty realistic too. Like we learned that Kafka and Mino are like childhood friends.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, we vowed to take down the Kaiju. And like, I don't know, like I've definitely had friends like that. We were like, you know, we're all going to be successful. One of those guys I still talk to is also a successful person like myself. And, you know, somebody's going to fall off, right? But, like, it was just kind of cool to see that. Like, it wasn't, like, too dramatic. Something happened to these kids. Like, a Kaiju, like, wrecked their hometown. So they're like, okay, we're going to go do something about this for the rest of the world. It wasn't, like, overly dramatic, you know?
Yeah, it was just like, this is what we're feeling, you know? This is what we want to do. Let's do it, you know?
Right. And then one of them fails, at least initially. And you know, that's how shit goes. Like, not everybody's going to shoot right up to the top. Like, fucking Ace, Luffy, and Sabo. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody's going to stumble along the way. But, you know, hopefully they find their way.
Yeah. And speaking of that, like it took me a while to realize that Mina was actually, like, the leader of the third division or whatever, the woman that we see was actually Mina, the Mina that we'd seen in the childhood flashbacks and stuff. Like, oh, it was at least 2/3 of the episode gone before I realized it. So,
okay. It got me. I realized it during the flashback because of the eyes.
Okay.
That's the only thing that got me. I was definitely locked in on this one. This episode, I wasn't doing anything else. I won because we're doing another rundown, like, gotta lock in for the people, but also like I definitely like wanted, it's like I said before, it's a rare opportunity that I get to watch a dub with everybody else and talk about it.
Exactly.
So I was like, let me really get this shit in. So yeah, I realized it pretty soon after the flashback, and then we saw her grown up. I was like, yeah, that's her, but Yeah, I definitely understand why you wouldn't, because like I wasn't sure. I was like, I'm pretty sure that, you know, like that definitely looks like her, but like I don't, you know.
Well, when I watched it back just to get a feel for the dubbed or whatever, I realized that like they had like a lot of moments just showing her, like, I guess retrospectively in view with him. Like she was walking up the street to, and people was hollering at her and stuff like congratulations, and he was walking the same time down the street to go clean up the job, that do the job that no one else wanted to do, you know. Like right. It makes it seem like it was trying to be like you know, trying to show the different sides of the same thing, you know what I mean? Same goal, I guess. Gotcha. I don't know.
Gotcha.
And I should have realized at that point that, oh, this is actually the chick, you know, but I didn't, so.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that didn't, for sure. What were, like, kind of some of your, like, first impressions of Reno, though?
I thought he was kind of stuck up, but, at first, but then after he, so, you know, it's a funny thing, you know. You put somebody like that on a job like the intestines or like the shit job or whatever, and they really change their tune, you know. Most of the time they either don't make it or they change their tunes or whatever, you know. They right. become more understanding, and I like that they did this because he did become more understanding, and he it made me like him more after he realized, you know, that I guess after he got put through that and, you know, got knocked down a few levels, I guess you could say.
Like, I think it's not even like knocked down a few levels. I think he just.
So headstrong. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, he seemed like he was like fresh out of school. And like, I've worked with people coming out of college. They got their nice degree. They average a 4.0 and they really think they're hot shit. And it's like, bro, none of that means anything.
Yeah, they need to me. Calm down.
Like, you're none of that means anything. Like, you got to do a job now. Like, I'll help you, but like, you got to calm the fuck down first. Like, stop being arrogant.
I mean, that's basically what I was kind of saying, except you're just saying it nicer.
Knock him down a few levels. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, but I think people just got to get perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I enjoy him now, so he's a fun character. I like how they introduced him, though. So
true. And like I was definitely that kid at one point.
I mean, we all was, right?
Yeah. So. Like, fuck these people. They ain't shit.
I'm the big bad now. And then you come in after shovel shit and you're like, oh shit, I really ain't that.
Sucks. This is fucking sucks. People wake up and do this shit every day.
So yeah. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed this episode in whole. So I think they really done a great job at, like, I guess, like building the world and like showing us the characters all at once. So
yeah, they crunched a lot in this first episode for sure. Before we move on, because we didn't really cover that all that much from the actual show, I do want to ask you a question. So like we saw that Kafka got changed into a kaiju, a monster, at the end of the episode by that little mosquito-looking thing. And it said, before it changed him over, it said that,
I found you. Yeah.
Bro, what the fuck was that about?
So, like, I was kind of wondering. So, like, the whole episode, you know, the synopsis says that, like, he's able to transform or whatever, right? Like, it's no, like, secret. And the whole episode, right. I was like, when's this dude going to change? Like, he's got to change. Like, he's about to be killed, right? Like, he's fixing to change and he's fixing to, like, go ham, right? And it never did happen. And then at the end, this scene happened. I was like, wait, why? What is this? What's going on? You know? So it confused me, but I'm also curious. I'm curious as to why it said that, why it was after him. Like, does he have, like, is it because he's, like, the rival of Mina? Like, is that the reason why?
Yeah, it seemed weird, bro. Like, it seemed really, really weird. And, like, why would, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And, like,
I don't either.
Could the other kaiju just be former humans? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
What's really turning these monsters into monsters? You know what I'm saying?
This is giving me kind of like Attack on Titan.
I don't think it's gonna be like Attack on Titan, but it just seemed weird. Like, he's like, oh, I found you. So like something, either that one mosquito looking kaiju wanted to find him, or like somebody is telling that mosquito looking kaiju to go get him. Yeah, both are crazy to think about, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where, like, oh, let's throw this on the end and make it a hell of a cliffhanger, even though we knew it was going to happen, but we didn't know it was going to happen in this way, top shit. So,
yeah, for sure.
So, it's definitely hooked me.
For you. I got one more.
Let's do it. I mean, the first episode is always the hardest because we don't know what we're getting into. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it usually takes a little longer on the rundown because like we have so much to talk about. And we still got to ask each other, like, you know, a few other questions, I feel like. So Mina ends up saving Kafka after he got his shit rocked and leg broken shit. And she's looking right at him as she's like standing there with her fucking cannon. And just like walks away. Like, why do you think she doesn't like talk to him anymore?
You know, I seen that. And also like the bath scene, well, she's in her bathtub or whatever, relaxing. She actually acknowledges that was him. You know, that's one of the moments that made me realize, oh, wait, this is her, you know? And I was kind of thinking maybe that she's mad at him. Because it seems like she's mad at him for not trying his hardest so she definitely seems like she's mad because he failed to keep his promise, a promise of staying beside her side or whatever. That's what it seems like.
Okay.
So that's, I think it's deeper than that, but I think it's somewhere along those lines is that she's mad because he didn't do what he said he was going to do. And she feels that he could have like been up there at the top with her if he would have tried harder, I think. So.
Got it. Okay.
What about you?
Man, I don't know. I thought she was just being a bitch. I didn't really think about it that hard. But like I was thinking maybe like she's like disappointed in him or like also like similar to what you say, like this doesn't feel like he tried hard enough. You know, also people like when they, you know, they might think they're better than you. You know, like, oh, we came from the same circumstances. But I was able to do this and you couldn't. Like, I don't need you around. Get the fuck out of here. But I hope it's not that like that for the sake of the show.
I don't think it is because like I think the bath scene, if we didn't get that, then it could be like that. But since we got the bath scene, it showed her like, I guess, wishing that he would have or whatever, you know, and I feel like she's just mad that he's not there and or whatever. Okay. I want to know why he wasn't able to make it there. Like, hopefully we get
What he failed at. Yeah.
So, was it, like, lack of ambition? Like did he just give up? Or, I want to know. So.
True. Same here.
But, I mean, I guess the only thing else left to talk about before we let this go, like, super long is like this is the first time that we got the OP and EDs by Western artists. Well, not the first time, but like this is the first time in a while, right?
Yeah, we don't get that a lot at all. But yeah, the OP was by Youngblood featuring Imagine Dragons. I don't think did it actually release?
It did. It wasn't in the first episode.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
But it did release like on other places when it first got announced or whatever that they was actually doing it or whatever. So
I don't know who this Youngblood kid is, but mid. Imagine Dragons is like a 5.00000 mid And then I don't know what you. Sorry, you go ahead. My bad.
No, I'm actually like enjoying it. So
okay, I'm happy for you.
I'm actually enjoying your opinion of them. So it's what I meant. The OP, like it's okay. I mean, after one episode, I don't really think it really fits. But like, you know, they're trying something new here. I give them that. Like. It's a decent bop, I guess. I just don't know about it being this anime's bop. You know what I mean?
I don't feel like it fits well, at least with the first episode.
Yeah, and the ED, like, it fits a little bit better, but I wouldn't say, like, it's a great hit. You know, it's not a great bop. It's not one of my
Republic
favorites.
One Republic is crazy.
So.
Like, that's the most, like, cookie-cutter, generic-ass band I could have thought of. And sorry for the One Republic fans, but like that is like the most lowest common denominator type shit. And I can't stand it, honestly. All their songs sound the same to me, at least most of all their popular ones. Not to say they don't have a couple bops, because like that would be a lie, but like, nah. And you know what it might be? You know what it might be, Tyler? We've been talking, we're going to talk about a lot about music on Thursday with Film Red, and that had some serious heat. And then
in comparison,
yeah, oh yeah, like those were good songs in or out of anime. And then our previous Deejin's episode was about music, so I don't know if I'm hearing all that and like we just pulled the best of the best out, and then I had to listen to this shit, or if it's just bad on its own. I think it's like just mid on its own, but like it also doesn't look good with that kind of backdrop.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because I haven't been able to, like, be on socials a whole lot, so I can't really, when it got released, I can't remember what the vibes were. I know I've seen a couple people saying that they didn't like it, so I wonder if, like, a majority of people didn't like it, so I don't know.
Fucking Imagine Dragons. Imagine that.
But, I don't know. I guess we'll have to listen to it for at least, 12 episodes, so.
Yeah, I guess.
Or skip, so.
Yeah, I'm going to skip this shit.
But yeah, I think that's all for Kaiju number 8. It was a really solid episode. The OST was pretty good, too, so besides the OPED.
Yeah, the OST was pretty tight.
Yeah.
I fuck with that. But you ready for some Go-Go Loser Ranger?
Yeah, let's do this shit.
All right. So we got Go-Go Loser Ranger episode 2, Go Fighter D. So D has signed up to be a recruit for the Ranger Force, and now he is plotting on how to take down Dragon Keepers. Meanwhile, the other invaders are getting kept under close watch and thumb by Keepers Red and Blue. But luckily, they have a hidden ally. So to start this episode, D is looking for the Dragon Keepers while at the Ranger Forge HQ. Then the recruiter kind of finds him while he's standing at the desk asking about where the Dragon Keepers are and why they're not at HQ. So, but we also learned in this moment that the invaders have very fragile bodies, weak enough to be cracked by pressing your face against theirs. Like in a normal hug, which is crazy to me. Did that surprise you too?
I think I wonder if like their normal bodies are also fragile, or if it's just when they're doing their shadow clone shit. Because I took it as point. Like shadow clone shit was like easily cracked, but I could be wrong. It could be both since they're made of dust or whatever, right?
They're made of some kind of like vapor shit.
So maybe it doesn't matter that they're cracked easily because they're just dust or whatever.
Right. They're made to be reborn anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, they probably are always pretty fragile. And we also saw that later in the episode when Tsukariki was like just slicing his head off with a butter knife, pretty much. It was a steak knife from the restaurant, actually. Yeah.
What's the man thinking? Like, by the way, what's the man thinking? Gonna take that and try to kill a Dragon Keeper? Like, what is going on in his head?
I don't know. He was really not thinking. He thought he was the main character for a moment.
But he is.
Oh, I fucked up. Oh, I fucked up. But yeah, no, he thought he was that guy. He's really not, though. So, like, after we see this whole scene, we could then go up to the monster's, like, fortress in the sky fortress. And we see Red and Blue, the keepers, stop by, and they're paying the invaders a visit. So they questioned and then decided to keep the soldiers under fucking surveillance 24/7, bro.
Yeah, which is, that's a lot of manpower, for one thing. And that just kind of stirs up shit. When you're doing that, you're just trying to stir up shit, right?
So it was because of D in the first place, though. Yeah. So they were kind of like a little justified in it. But like, you have them so far under thumb. I don't know if I would have done it.
Like, what did D hurt? Like, so my thing is, you know, D was out of line, obviously. But you going up there and doing what you're doing is actually making the situation worse, I thought, right?
Yeah, I think that too. Like, it was just one person. He was like, nah, fuck this. Like, and he really couldn't even hurt you. Like, he couldn't do anything. And he was by himself. But I don't know. Like, it was cool to see how the invaders and the keepers like act like behind closed doors with one another at the same time.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool as well. And it just didn't really make sense. So it kind of shows you that like the keepers are just trying to ag on the, I guess, to be just to be petty. I guess, kind of, right? That's the vibe I got from it.
They were being petty. They were like, not even like petty, like cruel, like just flat out like cruel, because they know those people can't hurt them. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna leave some of my soldiers up here, just, you know, just so y'all remember that like we're way stronger than you.
Yeah, like just that way y'all can't be doing the shit that y'all doing, like that you enjoy doing. You'll be antsy the whole time, basically, right?
Yeah. And that definitely would make the situation way worse. Like, you're not even having your own privacy anymore. And they've been down for like 13 years. They probably just got used to it. And then you kind of like fucking up their like routine.
Yeah. It definitely made me feel like you're making them feel like caged animals, even though they've been caged animals, but you're making them actually feel like it now. Right.
Right.
Doing like what you're doing.
Home.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I felt like the point of it was that they wanted to make them feel like that because they're being petty and cruel, like you said, but I also thought it was like, it's not smart. But I mean, like, what are they going to do? Right. Cause they literally can't do anything against them from what we know. So
I also liked how like Blue and Red were like being good cop, bad cop. Well, like, I guess bad cop, worst cop. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Red was literally so fucked up. Like, he was like, ooh, great partners. You're great partners with us. So we're going to leave our guys here to watch you. Super. She was crazy. Like, bro is sociopathic. And like, it was honestly really cool to see. This episode, I thought, kind of went a step above the last one. The last one was just kind of corny.
Yeah, I still don't know what to expect from this show. Like, it's got some comedy in it. It's shadowing on the dark side a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it kind of wants to be a parody, kind of somewhat. It feels like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what this show is trying to do. But like, I like it. I guess, you know what I mean.
Yeah, after the second episode, I definitely like it a lot more. But yeah, that's what everybody was saying. Like, it's going to be like The Boys.
Yeah, well, the thing is I've never seen The Boys, so I don't really know what that entails. You know what I mean?
So it's exactly that. It's dark, but it's also like fucking, like they're like overly gruesome to the point where it's like, why are you guys doing this? Like, they try to make it so gruesome at least one time in the show to where you're like, yo, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, why did y'all do that? And but then it's like also a parody on like the Justice League.
Okay. So I guess I kind of hit it, right?
Yeah. What? Like everything you said is like, that's why I said it's like, yeah, it's like the boys. Okay. Yeah. So that's literally it. And I didn't know people meant so literally like when it's like the boys, because it's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the Justice League are the bad guys, or in this case, the Power Rangers are the bad guys, and they're like being super cruel for like no fucking reason.
I mean, I'm down for it. Like I said, I'm enjoying it. Like, I want to know, because right now you're thinking like, so these Dusters, D or whatever, like they're literally no match at all. So how can he make a difference in this world when he's literally so weak? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I want to know how they're going to spin it, I guess.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure something out. But that's also in the boys too. It's people without superpowers going up against the people with superpowers.
Oh, okay.
Some Superman type folk. Yeah. So it's actually very, very close. In that way. But yeah, I think, you know, we saw in the episode, he's going to get some inside help at the very least. And I'm sure she's probably not the only one. But before we get into all that, Red was also talking about like them stepping in the way of world peace. The fuck is this guy talking about? This isn't a real war. You think he was just being delusional, or like?
I think most of the higher up, like Dragon Keepers in this show, are literally delusional. Like they're lost. The best way I can explain it is they're lost in the sauce.
Okay. Okay.
They're literally lost in the sauce.
That tracks. That 100% tracks. But yeah, like after that whole crazy tirade by Red and Blue, we immediately got some comic relief from D. He was trying to eat a steak, and like he almost had it. Like, he cut his steak in half, but he didn't cut it into bite-sized pieces. So he said, you know, fork in the left hand, knife in the right. I'm gonna just pick up this whole other half of the steak and try to bite it. Shit was crazy.
So yeah, he's trying to learn how to fit in. I'm doing so good fitting in. Yeah, little does he know.
Yes. And then at this point, like, did you think that Sukiriki, which is a terrible name, sorry for anybody named Sukiriki, but
damn,
I shouldn't say that. I really shouldn't. But did you think she had found out that he wasn't like a human at that point?
So, like, I thought that she knew the whole time, but then she did shit to make it seem like she didn't know. But it turns out in the end, she really did know. So that was like, they done a really good job at that.
Okay.
So
I thought she was suspicious of him when Sakurama and D like met at the counter. And she was just like staring him the fuck down. I think she was like a little suspicious, but then she saw the steak and shit, and she was like, something wrong with this dude, man. He don't know how to eat. He's a grown man. He don't know how to eat.
This dude ain't normal.
Yeah, something's wrong. But I wonder if we'll ever know how she like truly found out. But we also learned, which is really important, that nobody knows the actual fights are fake.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knows that. I don't know if you guys talked about that last week when I wasn't here, but that was a point of contention between, like a contention, but like we were debating that when we were talking about what we're going to do this season for the shows, for the rundown.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big plot point. So everybody else had, the Dragon Keepers have literally everybody else on the planet fooled.
Yeah, we was kind of wondering, like, how do they, like, so... We was on last episode, we was like, you know, we was going back and forth, like, do we think they're fake? Do we think they're real? But we come up with, oh, they're fake. We as viewers know that they're fake now,
right?
But they're also kind of real. These are real people, or like real monsters or whatever. Like, that aspect is real.
They are getting killed. Yeah.
But they're scripted, sort of, right? But how do the human like audience not realize that it's a play, basically, right? That's what we want to know. And why the government or the Dragon Keepers are doing this instead of just, you know, getting rid of them. Is it for power? Is it for control to make people scared, or for money? Right. And Dan thinks it's for money, because you see all like the endorsements and shit, you know? So.
Right. I think it's for money and power. Because like they said, like they do like a lot of good things too. They do community service. Like they help out the community. So they're doing good things. So they're thinking, oh, if the Dusters weren't here, like we wouldn't have jobs. I employ all these people that do community service, and all we got to do is fake something once every week.
Yeah. I mean, it's
fucked up because you're killing people every week for no reason. But like, if I was going to be that deluded, that's how I would rationalize it. You know what I'm saying?
I just don't know how people like believe that. Know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy because it's like it's not even like it's not even like a real battle. It's happening in one place every week at a stadium.
At a
they're selling
regular
tickets.
Time.
You they're know? Selling tickets. Like
you know, yeah. Like what are y'all doing? Why are y'all believing this shit? This is why things happen, bro.
It's like it would have just worked way better if they the show would have worked way better if like they just didn't do that part of it, because it's not even important that it's in a stadium.
Or did they spin it to give us a reason, or like make it seem legit sometimes with casualties or something? You know, like you know what
but
I mean.
People do die sometimes, but it had been.
I don't know how.
I don't know, but yeah, they said that like there hasn't been casualties in years, like 3 or 4 okay. years. So yeah, people maybe, have
maybe maybe that's how maybe they plan it out and let people die occasionally to keep people on their toes. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
But kind of getting on a little bit. So yeah, like during like the mission to like go give Red the letter, like we also learned that the Rangers each have their own like little citadel type deal, and then each one has their own thing. Like Red does monster extermination, of course, because he's sick. Yellow, we haven't learned much about her yet, but she does R&D. So that's gonna be pretty cool. And then D actually got to meet Red, his dumbass. And homeboy has like that same steak knife in the red right hand. But he didn't have the balls to try to actually like stab Red in the neck, which is probably good for him, because he would have died, because his skin is like dust. But then we end up learning that Tsukuriki actually knew D was like the monster the whole time. But like, why do you think she wants to help him? Like, you have any idea why she might want to do that?
The only thing that makes sense is that she's literally in the R&D, which is, I'm sure it stands for research and
research and development.
Yeah, research and development, which means that she probably likes to experiment or try new things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she sees a moment and she wants to try something out, I think. So I think she's going to have some kind of tool or gadget that she's going to give to a boy to make him stronger or something. So
that makes a lot of sense. I also think she probably found out that this shit was fake because she's in R&D.
Yeah. Because she has to be smart, right? She's smarter than the average Dragon Keeper, probably, right?
Right. That whole division probably is because they're in R&D. Yeah, it makes sense. That's where we send our brightest.
I think Dan also said that this girl, I think he was referring to her, that she was his favorite, so.
Okay. Oh no, he definitely was. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget the reason why. I think something about her.
Dommy mommy.
She was petty or something.
Dommy mommy. That's always Dan's deal. Yeah. I can let you know that. Tell me I'm wrong, Dan. Tell me I'm wrong.
I do enjoy her a lot, especially since she's gonna team up with her boy now. So it definitely makes it more interesting to figure out what this show is gonna give us now. So.
For sure. I also did love that, like, she was like just repeatedly cutting his head off and was like, oh, how nice of you to like finally oh no, D was like, oh, how about we talk about it now? You know, like, you know, no need for us to fight. And she was like, oh, that was very nice of you. Like, she kept up with it. I was like, she's witty too. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That was fun.
I enjoyed the interactions. So if they keep on going like that, like the witty interactions or whatever, I'm gonna really love this show because I love that type of shit. So
yeah. No, this is fucking tight, man. Really is. With how similar it is to The Boys, like, it makes me think, like, did they see that shit, like, starting, like, a few years ago? And like, yo, we can do that with this anime. We'll just do it exactly like that.
Well,
not the actual manga, but, like, actually making it for TV is, like, we'll just do that.
I wonder, like, I haven't read the manga or whatever, but I wonder if, like, this, like, is following it or if, like, it deviates a little from it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Did they make it kind of fit The Boys more, or like, are they going straight from how the manga was? Like, that, right. That's what I want to know. So I guess if anybody has read the manga, I'm not sure if we have any listeners that have. Maybe Dave might have. I'm not, you know, he likes to read a lot of manga as well. But okay. I would like to know that.
And like, the first episode of The Boys dropped in 2019, and the first chapter of this manga came out 2 years later.
Okay.
So like,
oh, we have that kind of situation. It wasn't even like predated or whatever. So
yeah, I had to check before I put my foot in the mouth, because like, yeah, the manga could have been like, I can fucking do that shit. We'll do it with the fucking Power Rangers. So. But you know, I'm not accusing nobody of copying.
No,
art imitates art. Art imitates life. So
I think this is so different. You know what I mean? Than like Justice League and stuff, right?
Go watch The Boys, dog. It's not the same plot. Like, they don't, I'm not gonna like spoil it for you, but they're not like fake fighting, but they are like a bunch of frauds.
Okay.
So it's different. It's different, but like
the same.
Also very, very similar.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, like the same. It's the exact same premise. It's like the exact same.
Maybe I'm not hating. Maybe,
I like both. I'm not hating. But
how many episodes are in The Boys?
I think there's.
Is it like an hour episode?
Three seasons, yeah, and they're hour episodes. But you will like them.
Maybe.
If you like, dude, it's like if Superman was fucking evil, bro. It's awesome.
I'm wondering if I watch one episode per week, if I could see like similarities form.
It's not like that. It's not, no? Like, nah, like, I just mean like the comedy.
Okay.
Like the overblown death, like that we got from Fighter F today.
Okay.
The overblown death where he did all those dragging things and he could have just gone over there and cut his fucking head off. That's the kind of shit that happens in The Boys. Like that, like the deaths are like overblown and gory. Fighter F didn't have to die like that, bro. He could have just went over there and killed him, bro.
I wanna bring that up. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm pretty sure they permadeathed him with that divine artifact.
That's the point of it. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, I just didn't see that shit coming.
Yeah, so instead of like killing him and like sending him back to the ship or whatever, like giving him another chance, they permadeathed him, basically, is what I got out of it.
Yeah, so they definitely did.
So, and that brings up another thing, like, they have to, like, so now we know they have the ability to permadeath the Dusters. So, like, I don't know, like, why? I guess we kind of know why they kept them, because of money and, you know, power, mm-hmm. shit like that. But at the time when they was first fighting them, why did they keep them? You know, like, they can't have thought like, oh, we're gonna make shit ton of money off these dudes because they're so weak, right?
They developed the divine artifact
after
during the war, during the first year they found it or some shit like that. That's what they were saying. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Then they killed all the bosses and they were like, I think we got something here, boys. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, that was something me and Dan was kind of wondering about. How did they kill the bosses, but not be able to kill the Dusters? And I guess this answers our question, because they could have killed the Dusters too. They just didn't want to. So,
right.
Makes
Brett's
sense.
Crazy ass was probably like, nah, I got something for this. We can do this.
Let me cook some up, bro.
Exactly. But yeah. Yeah, the last thing we see is like Fighter F looking for D, and like he gets caught by Red, and like we said, he used the Divine Artifact and did like some fucking Zoro dragon move on his ass with like 8-head serpents. And kind of went overboard to kill this guy who's basically vapor already.
Just sending the message, I thought, so.
Yeah. I think they got it. I think they got the message. But yeah, that was pretty much the end of the episode, guys. But yeah, I think they should like try to fight back. The invaders need to like that's worse than like, almost like worse than death right there. Like, you got to go die every week and get like put on t-shirts for kids. That's crazy.
Yeah, especially now since they're getting their privacy taken away or whatever. And, you know, with them coming up there, like, I like how they set it up. At least they made it seem like, okay, this is a viable move now. Like, them rebelling and having backlash is viable now due to the actions that they created. So. True. It's not just going to happen like for no reason. They actually give them a reason. So, but
makes sense. That's it for me, man.
All righty. We'll get on to Spice and Wolf Remake episode 2, and it's called Mischievous Wolf and No Laughing Matter. And during this episode, we begin to learn more about Hollow and how she views the world. We also have the pleasure to meet a rookie merchant, Zirin, who tells Lawrence about a way to make some coin. To begin this episode, Hollow tells us that she can hear coming disasters and catch lies with her ears. Then she smells a rainstorm coming. So, I know you wasn't with us last week, so what are you thinking now after the first two episodes, and then you hear this?
Oh, man, I think she's capping.
You think so?
You can.
I mean, she's a god, bro.
She said herself she's not a god.
Well,
she's capping. You smell a rainstorm? You can smell a rainstorm. Me and you can smell a rainstorm. You know what that smell like?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. So when she did this, you literally had the camera pan out, and you literally see the signs of a storm coming, right? So
yeah. And then she talking about she can hear people's lies. Everybody hears lies. And then later this episode, she's like, oh, I can only guess sometimes. What do you mean sometimes?
Well, then she says, it's up to you to decide if you believe me or not. I'm like, what?
I must have magical ears too, because you sound like you fucking lying.
Yeah, so you think she's capping, huh?
I think she's capping, bro.
You know, I don't know. Like, I feel like she's capping, too. I guess, and, like, I don't really know the answer to this because I can't remember if, you know, I can't remember her actions enough to formulate an answer that's correct. So, I'm gonna say she's probably capping, too, because if she wasn't, then I feel like we would know already.
Yeah, I feel you. What if she's not capping, though? That'd be funny.
I mean, I think,
to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Lawrence has got a handful. That's all I know. But speaking of Lawrence, next, him and Hollow head to a church, and we learned that if the wheat they have with them is eaten or burned or ground and mixed into the soul, that she will possibly disappear. So that's pretty interesting. I didn't actually remember that from last time. They actually decide to thresh it and like put it in a bag and keep it in like a necklace form or whatever. I just wonder like if they can just randomly get more wheat along the way if something was to happen to a lot of the wheat that they have. You know what I mean? Like if the wheat is interchangeable.
You know. I do wonder about that. Maybe the wheat is interchangeable. Even if it is, though, aren't they heading like north? Isn't that where they're going?
Yeah, but surely they have like wheat along the way, right? Since they it is got, wheat like, flour season, and shit. So I don't know. It's interesting how this plays out and. Like, I guess the main question is, do you think this is going to be a issue at any time? Like, the whole, this is all we got in this little bag type thing, and it's going on Hollow's neck, so.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an issue, like, big time, at some point.
So, my thought was when I heard this, is instead of putting... It's like that old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Why are you doing that? Why are you putting all your eggs in one basket?
Yeah, make split like them four, up, bro. Four bags of wheat.
Yeah, split them up. What are you doing?
Yeah, like what if she gets wet and then you have wet wheat and then it rots?
Well, I mean, she said that it will not, what's the word? It won't go bad or whatever with her around.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, so it can get wet and shit. Okay.
Yeah, right. It's what she said, because she asked, like, I think it actually got brought up from the storm or whatever, like, and she actually answered that with the, you know, her saying that with her around, they do not go bad or wither or whatever, so. So.
That's true. That's true. I forgot about that.
But yeah, so I think that is an issue for Lawrence being so smart and Hollow being so wise. I think that was I guess for plot's sake, right? It brings tension, drama later on, I guess, probably. So
yeah. Yeah, we can definitely see it a mile away, though.
Yeah. While staying at the church, Lawrence talks with Lord Aparenzo, and we learn about the bartering system that the merchants use. And what setting do we think this show is in because of the moneyless transactions?
Man, everything is still, that's gotta be like some kind of medieval shit. Christianity just got popular. So maybe like the 800s, 900s.
Oh, you think it's like century? That way, way back.
Yeah. I mean, things were the same for a long time during that period. Somewhere, you know, between 13th century, 13th or 14th century, somewhere in there.
It also feels like this is set in like a, I don't know, for some reason, it feels like it's set in like a European world, too.
Oh, like for style, sure.
The European sure. style world.
Especially with like how big Christianity is. I shouldn't even go like 15th century. I should go before that. I think I'm going to stick with around like 8th or 9th century.
Well, I'm not gonna guess because I'm not like a big history buff, so I couldn't even tell you what's in those injuries. The best I got is like it's a European setting. Okay, so.
Medieval. I even fucked up saying medieval. That's like way later. But hey, whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, no, I thought it's a pretty. I think it's a pretty cool setting to use. I also noticed that the women weren't speaking when they were like sitting around like the fire at the. I'm going to call it a church. You think that was an era accurate choice or like, was there another reason?
Probably. I say, which I don't know. Like, I know, like,
I got to ask them this question because I didn't want to get answered. I didn't want to get asked it.
Yeah. Well, like the, I say that's probably portrayed, that's what they wanted us to feel, I guess, feel like, okay. Unless they're just going off the, like, this isn't a main character, so, like, or this isn't a important character, so we're not going to have them talk. But even like Hollow, she was being quiet and it seemed like it was normal to be quiet. So I don't know. It just feels like it's a male dominant time in history. It seems like. So
for sure, because like Lawrence and like the Lord of Parenzo, like they have like a long ass conversation, and like the women didn't even like look up, and like no one even like it's like normal, like because if like if you did that like now, like it'd be like really weird.
Yeah. So I definitely see what you're saying. I didn't really notice, like it didn't really pop out to me or whatever that was happening, because I was too focused on like. Will Hollow get found out, because the kid merchant or whatever was kind of being a little nosy, you know, like a little bit too nosy. So I don't know.
He was a rookie merchant?
I don't know. I think he's trying to play. I think he kind of knows what he's doing, but he don't know what he's doing. You know what I mean? I think Lawrence has him figured out, but he thinks he has Lawrence figured out. That's what I think. So
okay, yeah. Zaren, whatever his name is, seedy, has a seedy face.
Yeah. But I don't know, like he says that he couldn't like initiate a conversation with the other people or whatever, but he seemed to initiate the conversation fine with Lawrence, and he seemed to be very forthcoming, I guess the best, I don't know, to Hollow, like to be someone of that struggles with conversation. He sure didn't act like it.
So. Right. Like, yeah, he immediately went from like, oh man, I could have never done that.
Yeah.
And then immediately he's like, oh, my name's so-and-so. Let me sit down and talk to you guys. You guys got a minute? Oh, yeah. What's your face look like? Oh, let me take that hood off for you. Yeah, that was a crazy switch up. I did notice that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like,
and they also like zoomed in on his smile when they introduced him too.
I think that's part of the ploy too, I think, with the missing tooth or whatever. So,
yeah, something's going on there.
But yeah, you know, we learned about him. We get into this thing where, like, this is what we were talking about earlier when we're trying to figure out if Hollow is capping or not about who she thinks is lying, because she thinks that he's lying about something with the like all the new silver coins and how they will be worth more in other countries. But, I mean, Lawrence also thought that it was a lie too, and like I said, I think me and Baz also called him out as well. So I can't really believe that she can sense lies yet. So
true,
because it was obvious.
Yeah, and she didn't know what thing he said was a lie.
Yeah,
she just knew he lied. Like that's like a terrible power.
She could be telling the truth, right? Based on that information. So I don't know. But
she can tell when she hears lies, but like, wouldn't you know that person said the lie? You know, like, it's useless. It's useless. Even if she does have a power, it's useless.
My name's Tyler, and I'm 30 years old, and I'm from blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's lying. Which part?
About what?
I don't know.
Doesn't help anybody, bro. Shut the fuck up. Only thing I can think is like, I mean, how like real world economics works and like how they used to do shit back in the day is like, yeah, they would put more silver in a coin, but the coin would also be worth more. Externally and internally. So it was kind of like, you know, like you have deflation and inflation. It would deflate. Yeah.
So I'm assuming you probably understood it more than me about the kind of deal that he was trying to strike. So what Zirin was trying to say, to the best of my knowledge, is that if you go around buying all these silver coins now, if you collect a big bunch of these silver coins now, when the new coins that are going to be more made with more silver or whatever comes out, you can turn them in for the new coins, and then they will be worth more than the old coins because they have more silver in them. That's basically what he's saying, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And like you should be able to tell how much money was worth by how much it weighed back in the day, because they would make it out of like silver, but it wouldn't be the size of the coin. It would be the size of the coin, because like your nation only has so much gold and silver and blah 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 blah. So if you were in a rich nation, you had heavier coins, so your coins were worth more. If you were in a poor nation, they made these super thin wafer ass coins, your coins were worth less. So it's basically the same thing, they're just saying with the percentage instead of the size.
Yeah, so like this is probably gonna get really deep in the next few episodes, I would say. And I think Bass is gonna really enjoy it. So
I'm gonna leave it alone until then. How about that?
I think Bass is really gonna enjoy it. But you know, I guess finishing up the episode, we got a couple more things. And in order to keep Zirin from, I guess, unhooding her, Hollow says a few things. And one of those sayings was, women look the most beautiful when viewed from behind. What did you think about that?
Shit. She, you know, man.
She wise, ain't she?
Yeah. I thought she was wilding, bro. I rewound the episode when I heard that. She was like, what is wrong with her, bro? Oh man, that shit was funny as hell.
I get what she's saying, right?
I definitely get it.
She was basically all the things that she said was basically saying that
she's an ass guy for sure.
She was basically saying that, you know, it's better to leave like things to imagination than see the true thing and be disappointed. It's basically what she's going off of, but she is wrong. Like, you know, because if he would have seen under the hood, then, you know,
she was just like, leave it to the imagination. Yeah.
She was just trying to keep him uninterested by making it seem like she was ugly, right? Is what true. I got.
So. Yeah, that's what she was doing. Yeah. She low key is wise though.
Yeah,
I thought she was bullshitting, but she low key is wise.
I did not expect her to say that though.
No, that shit was wild. I was like, you know, like she's not lying, but like it's also kind of fucked up. You know what I'm
saying? I mean, I guess. It is what it is, man. I don't know.
It is. It was just crazy. I never would have expected that out of Hollow. I just didn't see it coming
out of a wolf god, right?
So, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. We also learned that Christianity wasn't big when Hollow came down from the north. So how long do you think she's been like in the wheat or whatever, fulfilling her promise or whatever you want to say?
Well, Lawrence said that Christianity had always been big. So I think it's been low side, like 300 years.
I think so. I think it's been longer, honestly.
Yeah.
I just realized minimum, what you said.
Absolute minimum 200.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been a few centuries at least, probably closer to several.
Yeah, because it usually takes a while for like a new religion to take hold and make a firm like foundation, kind of like what we got going on right now. We've seen this religion or the church or whatever they're called. We see how big of a role they play in today's world in this verse or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they definitely got a stronghold and they are kind of feared, right? So that means that they've probably been around for a while.
Mad power.
And Zirin also asked Lawrence to stop in Pazio to exchange his pelts to get in on the money-making scheme. So I'm assuming that's kind of where we're headed now. We left and we're on the road now and we're going to this place. But so it seems like the deal is done, kind of, except for all that's left is to like actually sign the paper. So I thought that Lawrence was going to fill it out for a little bit more before like agreeing to it, but it looks like they like agreed to it and all this shit. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to give it a shot. But it's surprising that he's going to do that, knowing that this dude is probably lying. Yeah. You know, this also is starting to feel like we're in like Italy. Lorenzo.
Oh, Fazio. Yeah. Fazio. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's feeling like Italy to me right now.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm excited to see what the heck's going to happen once they get to this. Also, who does business at a bar?
I mean, the pubs are like the centerpieces of the old days, right?
Yeah.
That's where you got your inns, your drinking, your food. Like, it's like,
that's like the only third place they have. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Like, it's just where everybody goes, right? Unless they got like a specific guild type thing, but this ain't really that type of show, right? So
that makes sense. That makes sense.
But one last thing before we move on is, and it's talking about like, why do you think Hollow told Lawrence about wolves eating the human heads? Do you think that that's kind of like, do you think there's any like meaningfulness in that? Or like, do you think it's just bullshit?
Man, I think she thinks it's true. Well, I think it's true. I think she told him a true story. But like, yeah, she kind of came back and said like, yeah, we want your powers, your mental acuity, but you guys also come into our forest, fucking shit up and hunt us down too. But yeah, I don't know why she told him that. Because like all he did was like, hey, maybe you're just getting a little old. And then I don't think he really meant it. Like, he was just fucking around. And then she was like, I'll eat your fucking head. Eat your fucking head. Crazy.
Also, like, it seems like Lawrence has a little bit of, like, trauma related to this. Maybe he seems like he's had, like, wolf encounters before. And I think that it's portrayed lost someone.
Eight.
Yeah, and I think that they're portraying that he lost someone that he cared about during one of these encounters. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. He had his friend fall in the woods when they were running away.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's definitely not something to be joking around with. I wonder where they got that from. Like, is it like a thing that's like viewed in history? Like when the wolf eats a human's brain, it gives them their powers or whatever. That's what she said. So I'm curious where they got that from. So, but I don't know. Like, it's like not a whole lot happened in this episode, but still kind of a lot happened in this episode.
They got a lot into it, but yeah, I don't know why Hollow was really tripping on him like that. That was like some fucked up shit to say. Even if like he hadn't had that happen to him,
yeah.
Maybe stop when he says, "I've been attacked by wolves 8 times," and like he's clearly already afraid of you. And then like you're like, "Yeah, we love them human heads." Like, bro, I gotta sleep like near you. like, come on, give me a break. Yeah.
Did you enjoy the scenes where they was showing her like eating the potatoes, and she's like, the potatoes are my enemies or whatever, and she's just like getting choked on them or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe they're not compatible with me. Yeah. Yeah. And then proceeds to nom them down. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, we don't have no cheek space, but yet you can still put like a freaking half a potato in your mouth. Bro,
she was tripping.
Chew that shit. Like, you don't have to wolf it. Like, literally, the expression is wolf it down, I guess, right? So, it makes sense. But,
yes.
But, yeah, that's kind of all I got for Spice and Wolf. I'm enjoying Hollow and Lawrence a lot. So, their interactions. So,
yeah, I'm definitely fucking with it big time.
But if that's all you got,
that's it for me, man.
All righty. Well, that's it for the weekly rundown. One Piece was recap episode, like we said. It'll be back next week, probably with some banger episode after it got left off last week. So we got One Piece Film Red. We're doing a review slash discussion on it coming up on Thursday on a DGen episode. So make sure y'all watch that before then. It's honestly worth it. It's a really good show, especially if you like the One Piece verse. And I don't think it's canon, right?
It's not like canon. Filler,
so
I'm gonna have some shit to say to Dan, but another story.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see you on Thursday for that. Just make sure you let us know if you have anything you'd like for us to talk about for One Piece, Spice and Wolf remake, Kaiju number 8, or Go-Go Loser Ranger, or any other topics that you want us to cover. Linktree.com/animedegens, and we'll see you later. Peace.
Bye.